This morning's scripture reading comes from Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we have already called upon your name in this place this morning, and so we just thank you for gracing us with your presence, Father. Now we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see Jesus. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sit with you this morning, if that's okay. I would sit down there, but then the folks in the back would have to lean around to see, so I'll stay right here. But as I shared with the folks in the early service this morning, when I was studying and looking and trying to find something on Emmanuel, God with us, this week, I actually came across an article of one that I could call a friend, even though I've only interacted with Rob a couple of times. But back in November of last year, Rob Renfro, who is discipleship pastor in Woodlawn, Texas, who is also the publisher and I guess president now of Good News Magazine, wrote an article, and he called it Emmanuel, God with Us. And it's one of those things that I debated because, for one thing, I'll not take credit for someone else's article, but I will put my seal of approval on anything and everything that he says in here with great conviction that I believe it in the depths of my heart. And so this morning, if you would bear with me, and as I share Rob's message with you to make it your own, if it's a distraction that I'm sharing someone else's word, I apologize up front. But as I said, I truly believe that this is a word from God for us this Christmas season, and I pray he makes it yours. So rather than just information, I pray that you find transformation in the coming year from these words from our brother in Christ, because some words are worth repeating. Especially this time of year. But he begins by saying, life can be confusing and our way is often dark. Now there's a Merry Christmas opening line for you. Life can be confusing and our way is often dark, and sometimes it's as dark and cold as a winter's night. A lot of people feel like they're alone. No one smiling down on them, no one looking out for them, no one really understanding what they face, who they are, or what they feel inside. Funny, for some people, the Christmas season is when they feel the most alone. Maybe it's the crowds that surround us, or maybe it's the Norman Rockwell expectations we have this time of year that all family will be gathered together, everyone will get along, all the past will be forgotten, and everything will be just perfect, like a Christmas card. Maybe it's the time of year. You step outside into the night near Christmas, and it's dark, and it's cold, and it's quiet, strangely quiet. The air is heavy, The sounds are muffled, and the only thing you hear is the beating of your own heart. See, a lot of people deep down, they feel alone, and they live alone. And for some reason, it seems to be worse at Christmas. Now, there are many reasons that Jesus was born as a baby into our world. But one of the most important reasons was so that you would never have to be alone at Christmas. Never. He was born so that you would never have to face a dark night or a cold world or a lost cause alone. Never. He was born so that you would know there is someone who is looking down and smiling on you, who understands you, someone who knows your fears and your sorrows, someone who believes in you and dreams for you. See, there is someone who knew you even before you knew yourself. And no matter where you've wandered or what you've done, he wants to walk in this world and through this world with you. So why is there Christmas? Because God did not want you to ever be alone. Now in the Old Testament, God made a promise. From the book of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, we hear these familiar words. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God with us. God is with us. But throughout the Old Testament, the people believed in God. They always believed in God above us. When they sinned, they believed in God against us. And when they did everything right, they were able to believe in God for us, but never God with us. Not in the way we needed it the most. Not with us like a mother or a father is with a child. Not with us enough to understand what it's like to be a human, a little speck in a monstrosity of a universe. Not with us enough to feel what it's like to be one soul against the world, to give your best and to see it do no good, to give your heart only to have it rejected, to cry at night because those you love are hurting and you cannot take their pain away. They couldn't believe that God was with us, not like that, not ever like that. So they always wanted someone between God and them, a Moses, a priest, a prophet. But God wanted to be more than God above us. God wanted to be more than God against us. God wanted to be more than even God for us. It's always been in the heart of our God to be with us. Always. It was in the heart of God to be with you so that you would never have to be alone. Not on Christmas, not on the best day of your life, not on the worst day of your life. So what God promised through Isaiah came to pass. The virgin, we know her name was Mary. The virgin was with child, and she gave birth in Bethlehem in a stable, a place that we probably wouldn't have chosen. The child was Emmanuel, God with us, and we call him Jesus. Now, let life do to you what you will. Let it take your dreams. Let it take your health. Let it take your loved ones. Let it take your ability to get it all figured out and to make sense of it all. But don't you ever let it take from you your certainty that God is with you, he will never forsake you, and you are not alone. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, God has already been there. In the person of Jesus, he has been there before you, and he is there with you right now, if we allow him to be. Jesus came to be with us in the cold, dark night that is too often our world that we live in, and he knows what it is like to be you. He knows. God is with us. In fact, he knows what you feel when your friends desert you because his friends deserted him. He knows what it's like for your enemies to mock you because his enemies mocked him. He knows what it's like when your loved ones betray you because he was betrayed. You are not alone. God is with us. He knows the pain of crying beside a loved one's grave when death has torn a chasm in your heart that seems larger than you are and you feel like you're falling in it. He's been there. God is with us. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to struggle to do the Father's will, even to the point of sweating blood. He knows what it's like to suffer, to be abused in body and in spirit. He even knows how hot the breath and how cold the finger of death is when the final hour comes. Why? Because he is not God against us. He is not God above us. He is, in fact, not just God for us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Our God is not far off and distant. He is not up there untouched by our suffering and our pain. Our God, no other God, but our God has scars. Scars that he received because he came to live in the same cruel world that we live in. Because he came to be Emmanuel. God is with us. In Matthew's gospel, after the baby Jesus grew to be a man, after he was persecuted, crucified, buried, and resurrected, and before he returned to be with the Father, he made the most amazing promise that we find in Scripture in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says these words, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." His final promise, "I will continue to be Emmanuel." God is with us. "I will always be with you, no matter what you face, and that will be enough." Fedora Dostoevsky, if I destroyed that, forgive me, a Russian writer who wrote The Brother Karamazov, which Rob Renfro notes is not an easy read, but it's an incredibly insightful look at the human psyche and at faith in a complex and cruel world, as he puts it. He describes it this way: one brother, Ivan, is a rationalist who cannot believe in a God who allows so many innocent people, children especially, to suffer. His brother, Alicia, is a novice priest, kind and gentle, and his brother's rebuke of the justice of God, his insistence upon a philosophical answer for evil, cuts young Alicia to the heart. The author, himself a Christian, provides through Alicia no theatrical rebuttal, no philosophical apologetic to Ivan's accusations. Instead, he simply answers that God knows and God cares because God is with us. He doesn't give him any shallow answers. He tells his brother about one who came to live among us, more innocent than anyone who has ever lived this life. And yet he was tortured by evil men. His blood was spilled and his life was taken. The one who did this was God among us. More than that, he was God with us. And so as God with us, he experienced our suffering and our brokenness and the injustice and the evil in this world. He was touched by all that harms and horrifies us and tells us that we are not alone. Sometimes, Renfro says, "I wish I had a better answer." But what answer is there that could make what happened in Newton, Connecticut, or Aurora, Colorado, or the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, or the historic church in Charleston, South Carolina, or the community college in Oregon? And if you're not familiar with these events that have happened in this last year, they were all violent and horrific acts against other human beings. Somehow, how can this be made right or acceptable or understandable? Sometimes, he says, "I wish I had a better answer." But I've learned over the years that there is no better answer. There are some pains and some questions and some losses that we will never really get over. We have to live with them. But we can live. And we can live lives that are full and lives that bless others. Even if while we carry that loss, we know that we are not alone and we are sure God is with us. The presence and love of God can bring the healing and wholeness that all the words in the world could never provide, just being in His presence. Words are often forgotten, and answers when we're hurting, even if they're the right answer, are often hard to hear. But someone who is with us, with His hand on our face, that's how healing begins. God is with us. And so in closing, Pastor Renfro states, I used to wish that I had a better answer for people who suffer and for people who are mistreated and for people who feel alone in this world, but not anymore, because what I have is better. I have a story. It's the story of a God who came among us because He loves us. I have a promise that a child has been born, and His name is Emmanuel. And wherever life takes us, He is already there. God is with us. I've learned that the best answer that I can ever give is that God is with you, and He will never leave you, and that's enough. That is enough. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we gladly, oh God, this last Sunday of Advent before we come to Christmas, as our hearts are in a posture of waiting before You, Lord, we gladly confess the truth of Your name, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh Lord, I pray that title, that description becomes more than information, but continues to be transformation in the life of the one that walks with You today. Thank You for being the God who never leaves us and receives us when we turn to You in faithful confession of our need. We thank You that in Jesus Christ You are with us, and one day in Jesus Christ we will be with You. So today, Lord, let us live as Christians through the centuries have lived in the face of the cold wind of a prevailing culture that resists the claims of Christ. Let us humbly, boldly, faithfully, lovingly, sensitively, courageously proclaim Him, live for Him. And may Your blessing so be upon Your people that in this year that lies ahead, we may see here throughout this state and throughout this country, throughout the world, a sweeping ingathering of many who come to bow before Emmanuel and to worship Him alone. Oh God, these things we ask simply with gratitude and with love today. In Jesus' name, as God's people say, amen and amen.